He's a figure so well known in Victorian cricket across the years, first as a player and then as a progressive administrator, the legacy of which lives for us today in everything from the Junction Oval to the BBL teams in the Renegades and the Stars. He has this morning been unveiled as the new national selector. Tony Dottermade, great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jared. Pleasure to be with you.
Why, oh why, have you taken up the most unenviable portfolio in Australian sport?
What was I thinking, Jared? No, look, I'm really excited by it, Jared. It's something I hadn't really given a whole lot of consideration until I was made aware that it was up, and I thought, oh, it'd be interesting to have a look at. And the more I thought about it and looked at it, and I thought, well, you know, my experience both as a player and in cricket on the field, but also in administration of it, I thought I could bring some really, compelling skills and I guess useful stuff to the table to assist George and JL and the wider Australian high performance setup and network. So I've had a crack at it and won it. So it's very rare in life that you get a chance to do something special. And for me, that this is something I'm really passionate about, and to have an opportunity to be in the heart of it again is too good to turn down.
Yes, well, congratulations is a good starting point. Tony, you've lived your career in cricket and then your professional life for so many years. Did you find yourself almost at a loose end? Were you looking for something within cricket again?
Not particularly, Jared, no. You're right. Having had a lot of years in cricket, both here and in the UK, I've always been interested in looking outside and getting wider experience there as well. So I was lucky enough to have a couple of executive education experiences as well in the UK and also in the US, and just to enhance what I was doing and I guess staying curious. But a couple of years ago, having left Cricket Victoria, which was the right time, and have a bit of a break, and I've really enjoyed the last couple of years in hockey working with another great Australian sport. So I wasn't particularly looking for something again, but I guess also, our little project that we're working on in hockey has been disrupted a bit, like all sports really, with the pandemic. And this call came out of the blue, and it just seemed that it's a great idea. And the more I thought about it and looked at it, the better idea it got. So it's worked out that way, and I can't wait to get started.
So what is it, Tony, that does appeal to you? This is the most... That we have 25 million selectors here in Australia, and we love it, quite frankly. It's one of the great preoccupations of a summer is picking your own Australian team. When it was sort of laid out and as it started to fester in your mind, what is it that most appeals to you about it?
Well, I think a couple of things, Jared. Firstly, I guess you're right. It's a great national pastime, and everyone is so passionate about it, and that's one of the great things of the sport, and it also carries a massive responsibility as well, to live up to those expectations and dreams of so many people. So to be at the heart of that again, I guess there's two dimensions, one of which is that sort of game-to-game, things hanging on, your judgments are hanging on, the results and what actually transpires on the ground with all the uncertainties and unpredictabilities. But also the other thing that really appealed to me as well was the opportunity, I guess, in administration, you're looking at the systems, you're looking at how businesses, and ideas evolve. And the idea just to lift up the hood and look at the systems we've got in place and how we continue to evolve those and get better quality and different bits of data that might help not just the current selectors there, but also, helping to set up a system which would help the future generations of selectors and players and administrators and coaches as well. So that long-term type of project is something that's really resonated with me in the roles that I've had since my playing days. And that's really exciting to set something up for the future.
If we referenced your playing days, Tony, I'm deeply fascinated. How were you treated by selectors? Or what was your attitude towards the panel of the day?
Well, it's fair to say I had the full gamut of experience there, Jared. But look, I've never, and I understand I've heard a few that say that, geez, it's been a while since I've played, but I've never forgotten what it's like to be a player and those experiences as well. It's a real roller coaster ride and it's no different now. And, through my roles in cricket, particularly in recent times in West Australia, WA, and also in the UK, I've made conscious efforts to stay close to the playing group and really, you know, and get to know them as people as well as well as professional athletes. So yes, I mean, I've had all sorts of those experiences. You know, sometimes you're picked when you don't expect to be, or retained when you don't expect to be, and then you're dropped when you don't think you should be, and perhaps you know you're left out when you think, oh God, I know I'm not playing well, but one more opportunity I can turn it around, and all those sorts of experiences I've been through. So look, I think I understand that, and hopefully, you know, in the communications with players, it's a tough job, because sometimes, you know, you can do everything right and still there's someone that's just pips you and is just a better option at the time, and there's nothing you can do about that. So it is a real roller coaster ride, and hopefully I can bring that sort of understanding and empathy to the players and the coaches and my fellow team in George and JL, I suppose, and do the best job we possibly can to make those balanced decisions.
As an administrator, I think we would all acknowledge you were a progressive thinker, so you understood the traditions of the game, and that was true both in Australia and in England, but you were an absolute progressive thinker, and as I say, there's a lot in Victoria that that is the legacy of that. As a selector, will you be a progressive thinker? Will you be a traditionalist? What's the right approach in your mind?
Oh, look, I think the right approach, Jared, is to not go in with any real preconceived ideas. You know, there's certainly going to be, before you get in there and really and lift the hood and talk to your fellow selectors and the other high-performance network team in Australian cricket, that that you'll get an understanding of what the plans that are in place now and particularly the, you know, the plans in the short, medium and long term as well. You know, there's some important cricket coming up, not just this summer, but also in the next, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months or so as well. So I think that, you know, yes, I am a bit of a traditionalist. You know, I think some things in the game don't particularly change, but others do. And you know, formats and the way that we treat our athletes and the pressures that are on the athletes is too is something that we always need to be mindful of. And there's that striking the balance between what's right now and what you need to plan for and prepare for in the future. So it isn't cut and dried. There are always nuances around those sort of conversations and decisions. And you know, I think you really need to be really balanced and open to the circumstances as they arise.
Yeah, so the responsibility to the individual player, Tony. So these are so hotly debated. They are big topics in Australian sport, and yet they're individuals and their careers and their aspirations and dreams and their earning capacity and the like. So all that is stitched into it. How big are the each decision has such ramifications. Do you keep the player in mind in all of that whilst trying to tend to the overall of a team and a system?
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, of course, Jared, I think you do. You know, you understand, and being a player myself, you know, I understand that it's consequential. You know, those decisions that you do make are consequential. At the same time, you know, I guess I'm living proof as well that, you know, for all your ups and downs, things, in retrospect, things are never as good or as bad as they perhaps seem to be at the time. So you grow from all those experiences as well. I think ultimately, yes, you got that in mind, but that can't sway you. You know, someone's personal circumstances. You know, ultimately, you have to do the right thing by the team, and you know, and ultimately, those lessons, whether they be good or bad for the players, help shape their careers as well, and hopefully make them better players. There's been a whole stack of players, and I played with many as well, who you know, get in there and then perhaps have a couple of setbacks, and then go away and improve their game and improve themselves as players and people and come back again and have terrific careers. So it's a real continuum. It's not straight line by any means, and that's part of the challenge for us.
How challenging is the lead up to the Ashes, Tony, with disjointed Shield cricket? Victoria and New South Wales, obviously central to that, as they'll start playing against each other soon, but that's hardly how things are meant to be at this time.
Well, you're right, Jared. And, you know, for all of us, really, in any walk of life, you know, things aren't straightforward, are they, at the moment? And I guess the key is, you know, to be flexible, be nimble. And I think Cricket Australia has done really well in that regard, you know, and the way last season was managed as well. The reality is we'll get the cricket that we get and, you know, do the best we possibly can. It's I'd love to see the opportunity. You know, I don't think it's far away that hopefully there's more clarity on Victoria and New South Wales getting those opportunities. But, you know, we're playing some other Shield cricket at the moment, and players are putting up some great performances as well, and that's terrific, you know, and if that's what you'd expect too, because for an Ashes series, if you're an Australian cricketer and you've got a pulse, I mean, you want to play in the Ashes. And so, we want as much, I guess, as selectors, you want your job to be as hard as possible, yeah, because so many people aren't putting their hand up.
Are you straight onto the tools? Do you have any involvement in the T20 World Cup, or is it post that?
No, Jared, literally, I was appointed officially 24 hours ago, yeah, and I officially start with the guys in mid-November. Yeah. I've got some notice and finishing up some stuff with hockey, but also doing as much as I can to get up to speed. I've had the Shield cricket in the corner of the screen for the past couple of weeks as things have been evolving, and perhaps, I've hoped that there might be a chance, and now it's come to reality. So I'm definitely taking much more of interest, but looking at getting, into that data and those plans and understanding, the role and the detail as much as possible, so that when I do start, I can be as helpful as possible to George and also JL and the wider Australian teams.
So just as we finish, Tony, and that's the start of a longer conversation, but you've seen the evolution of T20 and the impact that it's had, and also what it has meant for Test cricket. In the tensions between the shortest form and the longest form, and batting techniques and bowling strategies and the like, has Test cricket been harmed at all by the absolute rise in white ball cricket?
As with a lot of things, Jared, I think there's a balance. I think that it has been enhanced to a real extent because I think we're seeing more exciting stroke play, and scoring rates have gone up. I think the stats bear that out since the rise of 2020. But also, perhaps there's an argument to say that the techniques maybe have been have deteriorated a little bit for some players on some occasions. But for me, it's the game has evolved till now. It'll keep evolving, and I think that's a really exciting thing for the game. And the really good players, the really successful players, do learn to adapt and learn to modify those skills when it's appropriate. So I think I take a really positive view towards that, and think that we can still produce three really, really effective and quality teams.
Tony, it's great to catch up. Congratulations. Yeah, welcome back to cricket. It's great to have you back involved.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it.
Get on you. Tony Dottomade, who has been appointed in that role as the third national selector. So he joins the coach, Justin Langer, and the chief selector, George Bailey. So Tony Dottomade returns to the cricket.